Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, everyone. Turn to the book of Ruth. Find the book of Judges and page one book over and you'll be at the book of Ruth. This morning, it's God's epic love story, and I'm going to do my best to make this as clear as I can. We'll spend the majority of our time in chapter 4. Let's stand together. Let me read 6 verses. Then I'm going to go back, and this is a scary word to everybody in this church. I'm going to summarize a little bit. And it's hard to summarize. I heard some groans there. It's hard to summarize and not go off on a tangent. So you kind of have to bear with me. And then we'll get to chapter 4. And I'll explain the kinsman redeemer. It's not as complicated as you think. It's an ancient law in Israel. And it's a beautiful picture. What a beautiful love story. Ruth chapter 4, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, a kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants, and before the elders of my people, the 10 witnesses. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, and for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, remember those words. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the Gentile, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it, for I myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance, redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Father in heaven, we pray your blessing. For some, it's just some King James Old English words that I just read. For others, it already rung a bell. God, we pray that you would help me to preach Bible this morning in an effective manner. I pray that the youngest child of God, spiritually, the one that has the least knowledge biblically, that they'd get something great from this message this morning. You would feed them. Lord Jesus, I pray for that one that's mature, that they would be fed this morning as well. And we would all leave this place rejoicing today at the goodness of God in our lives. Save souls and draw every saint, every born-again Christian closer to the Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. While you're sitting down, go back to Ruth in chapter 1 very, very quickly. It's an epic love story from God. Folded within 4 chapters of the Old Testament in this small, little, seemingly inconsequential book, the book of Ruth, is the greatest love story ever told. It's the story of our Redeemer loving the unlovely. It's the story of the maiden from Moab, the bachelor of Bethlehem, finding the maiden from Moab. It's a story of unmerited love. As a matter of fact, chapter 4, we just read 6 verses. In chapter 4, the word redeemed is found 15 times. It is a wonderful story. It begins with famine and ends with a feast. It begins with a funeral and ends with a wedding. It is the redeeming love for sinners. In chapter 1, now I'm going to do a little summarizing. There are 5 personages. And some of you know the story from 2 messages that have been preached just prior to this. So I'll try not to belabor the point. Verse 1 of chapter 1, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. This is in Bethlehem, Judah. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. This is Elimelech. And Elimelech, the name means my God is strong. My God is strength. There is a famine in Bethlehem. And he gets itchy feet. And he wants to move. and the grass is greener on the other side. And he gets out of the will of God. He leaves the homeland and goes to the land of Moab. And I'll say some more about that in just a moment. He goes to this cursed land, literally this land of this country of the devil, this land that is inhabited by people that have a curse upon them. And he goes there and he sojourns there. And this pilgrimage lasts for 10 years. 10 years. 120 months. 3,650 days. Desert days, dry days, away from God. It is a famine. Everything goes wrong. Listen, the devil will promise you great riches, and the devil will promise you peace, and he can't deliver on any of it. And any little trinket that he does put in your hands, it's going to slip through your fingers. And before you know it, your life is going to be over. Man, don't forsake the God of Calvary. Don't forsake your faith. Don't start looking to the land of Moab and think that's where the answer is. What happened in the land of Moab? Everything goes wrong. You'd think, man, it'd be good. Everything started out so right. So here's Elimelech. His name means my God is strength. He marries Naomi, which means pleasant. He has two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They mean song and maturity. What a perfect family. They got it all together. And Elimelech turns his face towards Moab and begins a 10-year journey of hard life. The way of the transgressor is hard. That's what the scripture says. 10 years away from God. 10 years of famine. In those 10 years, Elimelech dies. In those 10 years, his two sons die. And now Naomi's left alone. And in those 10 years, it all weighs down on her shoulders. She's got her two daughters-in-law, both of them Moabites. And she can't provide for them. And there's still famine in the land. And she changes her name to Mara. You see, I think that's also in chapter one, which means bitter. So it goes from Naomi meaning pleasant to Mara meaning I'm embittered. The God's hand is against me. I said this last week. Let me say it again. God's hand was not against Naomi. Naomi turned her back on God. You understand, this is the age, this is the church age, this is the time of great grace, and thank God, I just prayed this morning, thank God for his long-suffering. Where would my family be without the long-suffering of God? Where would this sinner be were it not for God is merciful and God is long-suffering? And he puts up with a lot of shenanigans. He puts up with a lot of foolishness in all of our lives. Sometimes we play mind games with God. We think God doesn't see something that we're doing or something that we're thinking about or direction that we're going in, and we play footsie with the world. We kind of turn our face toward Moab, like Lot did with the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. That didn't go well either. In fact, the result of that was the Moabite nation. I don't know if you know your Bible history or not, but this is not good. And in these 10 years, she gets disillusioned and depressed. She has no wherewithal. Man, how is she going to take care of herself, let alone her daughters-in-law? And she wrongly counsels her daughters-in-law to go back to the land of their fathers, to go back to the gods, plural, of their fathers. That was wrong counsel. Naomi was realizing, I can't. But what she should have realized is, he can. And she found that out later. And nobody was more surprised than Naomi when God blessed Ruth the way that he blessed Ruth. So they go back to the land. Naomi stays. You remember the passage. I'll just read this and let me get to chapter 4. Verse 16 of chapter 1. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. You know what Ruth was saying? Naomi, I want to worship. I want to continue to worship the God of Israel, the God of Bethlehem, Judah. I realize Jehovah is the one true God, and I will not leave. Wherever you go, I'll go. Your people are my people. Your country is my country. Where you die, I will die. This is absolute commitment. It's no wonder to me that Ruth is greatly blessed of God. By the way, this is a happily ever after story. Talk about that love story. Ruth ends up the great grandma of King David. She's a Moabitist. She's a Gentile. Let's look at these five personages found in the Word of God in these four chapters. Number one, Elimelech. I won't re-preach it, but he pictures Israel with the proverbial silver spoon in his mouth. It was Israel that was blessed of God. And Paul, when he wrote the epistle to the Romans, he said, listen, those of the tribe and stock of Israel, we're the ones that he entrusted the oracles of God to. They really are a special people. If you go to Genesis in chapter 12, let's go there together. I love this. That's why I want to read it. Genesis in chapter 12. There's no room for anti-Semitism in the family of God. You understand the first century church was a Jewish church. You understand? Jesus Christ himself was a Jew. You need to understand that. And it says here, a promise to Abraham. This is Israel. This is his boys, the 12 tribes. After that, verse 1 of chapter 2 says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I guess so. And I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in them and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Israel has been a blessed nation, most blessed nation on earth. America just second to it. God has blessed us because we've been great friends to Israel over the years, and like a headquarters for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Israel has been blessed of God. But why is it in the Old Testament? And I'm not condemning them, because I see Tim Rader. We get blessed of God over the top. Cup running over, saucers filled and running over as well. And then we think we don't need God. And we let up. We lift our feet. We start coasting. We stop pedaling. We stop fighting. And we just kind of coast for a while. And then before long, we're adrift. And we're drifting down. And God has to get our attention by way of chastisement. And it takes something away. And all of a sudden, we realize, oh, man, this is Moab is not the place to live. So we come back and we repent. And we keep repeating that he forgives us. And we keep repeating this cycle over and over again. Elimelech is a picture of Israel. Number two, Moab is a picture of the world. The Moabites. Moab is southeast of Judah. Moab was filled with idol worshipers. They worshiped false gods. They were the mortal enemy of the Israelites. It is a land that is cursed. It is the result of incest between Lot and his daughter. And there is a curse upon them. So therefore, the Moabites, that's where they come from. And right away, where does Israel run? They run to the world. And you need to understand this as well this morning. The devil's not your friend, and the world is not your friend. Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world, for they are of the world. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, because I did not quote it right. 1 John chapter 5. Oh, it's chapter 2. And look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that covers it all, is not of the Father. Sin did not come from the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world, the flesh, and the devil are just a wisp of nothingness. They're here and gone. So don't hook your wagon to the world, the flesh, or the devil. Because it's going to be here and it's going to be gone. But Elimelech, famine in the land, right away he looks to Moab. They might have something. Oh, grass is always greener on the other side. So he becomes a pilgrim. He goes to the land of Moab. He's a stranger in the land. His sons find daughters among the Moabites. That's always risky. One went bad, one went good. Both sons lost their lives. Elimelech lost his life. Naomi's beside herself. Ruth stays with Naomi. They go back. They glean because they heard there was bread in Bethlehem. Mark that down. God always takes care of his people. There's bread in Bethlehem. There's a famine in Moab. There's joy in Bethlehem. There are tears in Moab. There's life in Bethlehem. There's death in Moab. And then we come to the law of the kinsman redeemer. It's a beautiful picture. Ruth is a picture, by the way, of the church. And if you carry this picture through, it's beautiful. She's a Moabite. She's a Gentile. This is the church age. Elimelech strayed away from God. God raised up Ruth, the church of Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. Ruth was not worthy. She says this to Boaz. Why me? Why have? And Boaz knew Ruth's name before Ruth ever knew he was her kinsman redeemer. And as you know, Boaz is a picture of Jesus Christ. And he provides for Ruth and Naomi above more than they could ever possibly eat themselves. 60 pounds of extra grains in her veil. She takes it home to Ruth, and Ruth says, well, whose wife are you? And she couldn't believe it. She was more amazed than anybody else. Boaz, he just blessed me. And God certainly blessed. Ye are, verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. That's Ruth. That's you. That's me. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Nobody's becoming somebody. Beggars becoming royalty. Strangers and aliens becoming family. We have been adopted into the family of God as Ruth was brought to Boaz. One more, let's look at another verse. Ephesians in chapter 2, while you're in the New Testament. Ephesians and chapter 2 and verse 13. Ruth is a Moabitess. No hope. Her dreams were crushed to dust in Moab. Sin, sorrow and death, that's what she experienced. In no way did she deserve Boaz. She's the outsider as a kinsman redeemer. Naomi was Jewish and had a kinsman redeemer, but not Ruth. It says in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 3, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, a Moabite, and strangers from the covenants of promise, not a Jew, a Moabite, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where anyone is without Christ. You ever stop to think about this? Do remember this. Remember what you were before Calvary. Remember what you were before you were born into the family of God. Realize where you could be today were it but for the grace of God. Gypsy Smith, that old evangelist, said it the best way I know how. Don't ever get over Calvary. Man, I'm a preacher. I've been here for a while. I know sometimes I'm preaching the gospel, and it gets to be an old, for some people, an old story. If you're not in touch with God, I see eyes glaze over. I see people say, well, yeah, that's true, but they're just not excited about it anymore. Man, don't ever get over Calvary. If you do, you're on the road to ruin spiritually. Even though you might be a child of God and you got a home in heaven, don't ever get over the fact that there is a lover of your soul and you have a kinsman redeemer. His name is Jesus. Moab, Ruth, a Moabite, and then the near redeemer. Look at chapter 4 now. Let's go to Ruth in chapter 4. I'm going to try to explain this in a concise way. This is what I've been praying for all morning, that I'd be able to put this all together with the right words, because I have the right words when I'm studying. I have the right words when I can write it down on a piece of paper. And then I get up in front of hundreds of people and I forget those right words. And I have a hard time. So I pray every Sunday morning, God, give me unction. That means an anointing. I want to be really motivated and enlightenment. And that anointing, by the way, that's a Bible word. That means ability to communicate the word of God, that the Holy Spirit would use me to communicate the word of God. And I want you to know who Jesus is. He is our kinsman redeemer. Now, it's just like it's not real complicated at the outset. Kinsman, that means he's near of kin. He's a relative. And Naomi had a relative. His name was Boaz, which means strength. Naomi had a relative. But Ruth, she's a Moabitess. So this is completely of grace. By the way, you go to heaven, it's the grace of God. Amen. Your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, that is totally the grace of God. Absolutely. You don't lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. With your righteousness, you couldn't get 2 feet off the ground. But you have the righteousness of Christ when you get born again. That's all a kinsman redeemer. That makes all the difference in the world. And that word redeemer, you know what that means? Purchased. All right? So we have this was an ancient law in Israel. When a man died, in order to keep the land, because the land's real important to the Jews, in order to keep the land in the family, when a man died, the head of the household died, and maybe a widow is left, and maybe some children are left, and some lands are left, the nearest relative could purchase that property and that family name from the deceased, purchase it in the land of Israel and take it unto himself, and he could raise up seed and that tribe could go on and the land was taken. There was no government to take care of people at that time. So there was the law of the kinsman redeemer. Now Ruth understood this. Naomi understood this. Ruth did not understand this. But the kinsman redeemer. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate, and I have 10 minutes, if you give me a good 10 minutes here. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by unto him, who he said, "Ho, such an one," or "Hey, fella, look over here, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. Let's talk some business. And this is the way it was done in Israel, and I'll explain that to you. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here," and they sat down. By the way, here pictured in the near redeemer that he is speaking to right now, that is not Boaz, is Adam. He's a near kinsman to all of us. And Adam, he brings 10 witnesses in, Boaz does. 10 witnesses. The Decalogue. The 10 commandments. I'm not trying to read too much into this. I'm not going to try to dig any deeper than the surface, but this is rich. Because it's the Decalogue, it's the law that teaches me that I'm a sinner. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Hold your hand here. Romans and chapter 5. Just trying to do a little bit of teaching here. I hope I don't get too far away. Verse 12. Federal headship. That's what this is called theologically. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for we all have sinned. We're sons of Adam. We're a broken people. We're children of Adam. He is our near kinsman. But he could not redeem us because we could not fulfill the law. But the kinsman redeemer, the near kinsman redeemer, that being Boaz, that being Jesus, he could fulfill the law. And he did. Even though the 10 witnesses were there, he fulfills the law. That's why he came to this earth, and he provides eternal life. Verse 17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, so also the righteousness of one," that's Jesus, "the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Jesus Christ is that second Adam. The first Adam failed. The second Adam, he brought life. He fulfilled the law. He did not mess up with the Ten Commandments or the other 600 commandments in the Word of God. He did no sin, the Scripture says. Now go back to Ruth in chapter 4. Ruth in chapter 4, verse 3. "And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother's Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, I want you to know about this, you're the near kinsman, the law. Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders," the witnesses here, "of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." The law said, yeah, a person, holiness, that's how you get to heaven. You just keep the whole Ten Commandments. You just keep all of the law. By the way, the Bible tells us, Pastor James says in the book of James, if you keep the whole law and offend in one point, you're guilty of all. You break the whole thing down. And we're all sinners. We already read that in the New Testament. But he wants to redeem it. Verse 5 says, "Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi," there's some baggage, "thou must also buy also the of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance." The law is perfect. We read that in the book of Galatians. We read that in the book of Romans. It isn't the law that's a problem, and nobody goes to heaven except the law is fulfilled. It isn't the law. So you could go to heaven if you're able to keep the law, but you can't. And this is what the near kinsman says, "I can't. I want to. I can't." The law's been broken. It'll have to be a near kinsman who's a mighty man. We read that in chapter 3. His name is Boaz. And he has the wherewithal. And he will fulfill the law. Let me read real quick, just a couple more verses. Verse 7. Now, this was the matter in former time in Israel, concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. I know that's odd. It's odd in our culture. It doesn't seem right to me. To me, a handshake, you know, you signed a contract, that would be, but in ancient Israel, this is what they did. I don't know how, I don't know why, except I heard an old preacher explain this is what he thinks. And I think, you know, that, you ever hear the expression, I'd hate to be in your shoes. I'd love to be in your shoes. Or if I were in your shoes, I'd do this. It's like the near kinsman redeemer says, I can't do it. So he takes off his shoe, and Boaz and they exchange, one hands the other his shoe, and that confirms it in front of, you know who was in my shoes at Calvary? Jesus, the Redeemer. He took my place on the cross. Verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And he went in unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Next week, I've got a 5-point outline that literally is going to be fun to preach. This was a lot of detail this morning. I pray that you kind of know what I've been trying to communicate. I heard Adrian Rogers say this in one of his sermons. God does not love us because we are valuable. We are valuable because he loves us. I thought, boy, that's good. That is good preaching. We have a kinsman redeemer in front of the 10 witnesses that agreed and fulfilled all righteousness. He fulfilled the law. You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with me here today? Well, I have three things, and I just in a sentence. Number one, it's a hopeless world. It's a heartless world. I never really put it together. I've been preaching on abortion being wrong in America. You know what the number one killer in the whole world is? Abortion. And it's a hopeless world. Silicon Valley, I'll be out there in a few weeks at a preacher's meeting. In California, rich, well-to-do people, among the teenagers with two family homes, all the toys, all the nicest houses, swimming pool in every backyard, among all those teenagers in the Silicon Valley, their suicide rate is 6 times the rate of the rest of the United States. You know why that is? It is a hopeless world. Things will never, don't be Elimelech and think the grass is greener on the other side. That'll be a 10-year journey of darkness, and there'll be death, and there'll be sorrow. Man, don't take your eyes off the Savior. It's a hopeless world, and we have a wonderful Savior. Amen. We do. Man, he's my kinsman redeemer. And I didn't earn his love. And I didn't earn his attention by doing something special. He loves the world, every sinner, and provided for every sinner eternal life if they just come to Christ. And we're to be at sharing that good gospel message. And if you get away from telling other people about Jesus, you've just gotten out of the will of God. You say, oh, but I tithe. You're out of the will of God. See, I come to church. I'm one of the faithful ones. You're not testifying. You're not witnessing any way you can. You're out of the will of God. God gave you life today to testify about his goodness, to point other people to Christ. And if you get up tomorrow morning, it'll be because God gives you life tomorrow morning. And if you use your life, you rob from God, you're out of the will of God. That's pretty straightforward. That's really worth saying.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.